This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. My brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm going to begin inshallah ta'ala by reciting some ayat from the Quran, and then we'll explain something from the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين فإن للذين ظلموا ذنوبا مثل ذنوب أصحابهم فلا يستعجلون فويل للذين كفروا من يومهم الذي يوعدون.
My brothers in Islam, you all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose. If you don't know, you should know. If you look around you, everything around you is made for a purpose. See this microphone? Its purpose is to take my sound and then to amplify the noise so that you can hear me. The chair you're sitting on, when it was made in the factory, it was made for the purpose so that you can sit on it, right? Your clothes, when it was made for a purpose so that you can wear it and it covers you. Every single thing in life, look up and look down and left and right, was manufactured for a purpose. Everything. And so it only makes logical sense that you were created for a purpose as well. There's a purpose for your existence. We're not on earth to just figure out why we're here, what do? Should we just eat, sleep, drink, play, come to school, study, and then we die, and then it's the life is over. And then what's after that? There is a greater purpose for why you are created. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, He mentioned to us what our purpose is. And of course, Allah Azza wa Jal is our creator. He's the one who created you. He put you together. You see your eyes and your heart that is beating right now? It is only beating because Allah is giving it permission. What's the difference between you sitting now, still alive, and someone that has passed away? The difference is that Allah continues to give you a heartbeat and continues to give you life. And the other person, Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed his time's up, so his soul was taken away. So we need to listen and pay extra attention to what our Creator is saying. He's the one who made us, and He's the one who'll tell us what our purpose is. You see this microphone? If I didn't know how to use it, where do I go to seek information on how to use it? The manual, the user book. You open the user book, it'll teach you how to use this. If I didn't know how to use a computer, where do I go? There should be a booklet, there should be a manual that teaches me how to use the computer, and I'll go to that. So now you, human being, have finally been formed. You've come out of your mother and you've grown many years until you are where you are now. You're aware, you can listen to what I'm saying and you can understand what I'm saying. So on earth now, you have a purpose in life to discover. What is my purpose? And our user manual is the Quran, the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. Within the Quran, we're going to find what our purpose is. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create jinn kind and mankind except that they worship me. That is the purpose of life. You were only created to worship Allah. Your heart was created only to worship Allah and no one else. What does that mean? Meaning you have to worship Allah in how you talk. So you can only speak what Allah wants you to speak. And you have to keep away from that which Allah said don't speak. Such as swearing and lying and backbiting and gossiping and mocking others and insulting others. All of that in the laws of Allah, Allah said keep away from that. Use your tongue only for that which is pure and good. That's a purpose. So we worship Allah in the way we talk. And did you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the pure word, the good word you speak is a sadaqah for you. It's a charity for you. You know, when we say charity, often people think I need to put my hands in my pocket, take out some money and put it in the box. And now I'm a young kid, I'm not working, I don't have money, I can't do this deed. Don't limit the idea of charity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that a good word you say is a charity. It's a good deed in your scale. Every good word and kind word you say to your student, to your friends, to your teachers, to your parents, to your brothers and sisters, to people generally, to mankind, every good word you speak, wallah, don't think it goes unnoticed. Allah Azza wa Jal would record for you a good deed. And these good deeds will become the size of mountains on the Day of Judgment, which is what you and I will need on that day. So we are created to worship Allah. We worship Allah in the way we talk. We worship Allah also in the way we dress. So the human being is supposed to dress in a way. He needs to cover his private parts. And that is from the navel all the way until the knee. That is supposed to be covered. Because we're walking on Allah's land. And we need to abide by the rules and the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal. Remember, you were created to worship Allah. Now don't look at each other and see some people are not wearing up until their knee and above their knees exposed. It's fine. We're teaching each other and we're not pointing fingers at others, right? We are educating and we are teaching. So we need to worship Allah in the way we dress. So you go back home, take a deep look into the matter. Look into your closet and what you have. If things that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, keep them and wear them. Things that are not allowed to wear, start working on removing them from your life. Because you need to worship Allah on earth to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. We worship Allah in what we eat. So the Muslim, all foods are permissible except a few things that are impermissible. And everything that Allah Azza wa Jal made forbidden is actually harmful to us anyway. You wouldn't want to come near it. Everything that is prohibited in Islam is actually harmful to you. You only harm your own self. So this is how we worship Allah. In how we talk, in how we dress, in what we eat, in what we drink, in how we speak to others, in how we sleep and when we wake up. The Muslim sleeps at night, that's the recommendation, and then by Fajr time he has to get up. He has to get up and make wudu and pray Salat al-Fajr. This is what it means in the true sense of worshipping Allah. And that's your purpose in life. That's exactly what you are created for. When you do what you are created for, you'll find a lot of success and blessing in your life. And the more you move away from your purpose, you'll find a lot of misery and unsuccess in your life. I'll give you an example. You see this microphone? Its purpose is for me to talk in it. If I continue to do that which it was made for, it'll serve me for a very long time, right? And it'll stay in perfect shape. But let's say I use this for other than its purpose. Let's say I used it as a hammer You know the judge when he wants to hit onto the table? Imagine I used it for that. After 2 months, it'll be destroyed. You cannot use it anymore. Why? Because I used it for other than what it was made for. The human being is like that. If you use yourself for what you were made for, if you use your tongue and your eyes and your stomach by eating and waking up at the times Allah wants you to get up, then you will have an optimal, yani, excellent life, a successful life, a life of blessing, a life of goodness, a life of peace and tranquility. This is the very same thing people are running after today. Everyone wants success, everyone wants money, everyone wants happiness. Everyone wants all these good matters in life. You want them. They're in the hands of Allah. All of it is from Him. So how can you want it and keep far away from Him? So that's the idea. And if you use your body for other than it was made for, then you're going to become disturbed. The heart will become unsettled because you're doing something you are not created for. Imagine, for example, we know that Allah Azza wa Jal forbids for the men to look at adult content. You know, everyone's got a mobile phone. This here is a big sickness today. This social media is a big disease, huge. And any one of you that has Snapchat or Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is, yeah, I mean, without even searching for the haram content, it's already there. And the shaitan reels you from one content to one short to another reel, and by then you've entered into the profile of hers, flicking through pictures and videos and just feeding your eyes this kind of garbage. You see, when you do that, you're harming yourself. You're doing something you are not created for. Then the heart begins to panic. It's unsettled. Then a person begins to desire al-haram. Then wallah, the youth, what happens to them with this phone? They have it at night thinking that no one can see them. Thinking that no one can see them. But of course Allah from above can see exactly what you're doing and how you're behaving. And so you continue to engage in this haram content until what happens? Until you lose a lot of the night, you haven't slept because you're busy awake upon al-haram. Sending text messages back, video to sending to video to picture after picture. And then you wake up the next morning, you haven't slept enough. And you're sleepy, and you're tired, and your energy is depleted. You can't concentrate, you can't understand. You just want to get back home. You want to get back to your addiction. What a life. You see how when you do what you are not created for, how you begin to disturb yourself? Your soul and your heart and your spirit becomes disturbed. Meanwhile, look at another person that obeys Allah. So naturally, a man has a desire for a woman. But we have to follow Allah's law. Allah said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُبُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believers to lower their gaze. Meaning, هذا, don't use it for the haram. When you see something wrong, immediately turn it off. Walk away from it. Do something else. Go to the gym. Go to football. Talk with your parents, with your siblings. Move away from this disease before it kills your heart and kills your mind and soul. Move away from it. You know, if you do that, you are doing what you were created for. Wallahi, you will have a lot more peace and contentment in your heart than the one who is distracted by these addictions. Why? Because he's doing what he was created for, and this other guy is doing what he was not created for. You need to understand this point very carefully. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We were on earth so that we worship Allah Azza wa Jal in every aspect of life. And I give you an example. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Do you know the Prophet Ibrahim? Who among us here is called Ibrahim? Put your hands up. Anyone? Anna, Ibrahim, mashallah, Ibrahim, who else? Who else is Ibrahim here? We have one Ibrahim. Anna, anta Ibrahim, you need to pay attention to what I'm saying. Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah. Have you all heard of this prophet? All of you? Who hasn't heard of him? Put your hands up. Who hasn't heard of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Put your hands up. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you something about Ibrahim. Perhaps you know, but you've never heard in this perspective. Ibrahim is a Muslim. Every prophet was a Muslim. Every prophet said La ilaha illallah and accepted that Allah must be worshipped. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jal tests him and he reveals certain commands to him. Ibrahim at this time is about 80 years old. And he has his first child in life, and that is Ismail alayhi salam. From, of course, his wife who was Hajar radiallahu anha. So Ibrahim and his wife Hajar have a child called Ismail. And Ibrahim is 80 years old. And he is so excited and happy and delighted and joyful over the occasion of a child. He's always wanted a kid. He's always wanted a child. Now Allah has given him a child. So he takes this child. And not long after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to him, take your child Ismail and his mother Hajar and go and put them in Mecca. You know where Mecca is, you know Mecca. Mecca back then was a valley. There was not a single human being there. No animals, no life, no vegetation. Allah says, بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرَعٍ. A valley that's uncultivated. Meaning there's no greenery, there's no trees, there's no fruits, there's nothing, zero. Ibrahim, Allah tells him, commands him, take the family and put them in that desert and walk away. Walk away. Go to Jerusalem, go to Asham towards Syria. So Ibrahim, he's a Muslim, and a Muslim, his purpose in life is to worship Allah. This is a commandment from Allah. You know what he does? He puts his family in this valley and he puts with them some water and some dates, what's left over. And he begins to walk away. As he's walking, look, there's no phones, there's no WhatsApp. You can't update the status and say, oh, what's up? Where are you now? I'm here and all's good. There's no internet, there's none of this. So he's got no clue what's going to happen. He walks away. As he's walking away, his wife Hajar calls out, Ya Ibrahim, Allahu amaraka bihada. Ibrahim, did your Lord command you to do this? He walks away. He doesn't answer. She calls again, did Allah command you to do this? He keeps walking away. He doesn't answer. He's almost out of sight. She cannot see him anymore. She screams out one more time. Ibrahim, Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah command you to do this? Here, he doesn't even look back to say yes. As he's walking, he says yes, and in another narration, he just nods his head. Here, the scholars, they say something, that he didn't turn his head back to see his family, because if he turned his head back and saw them, he would have felt sorry for them. He would have seen them. Look at that young kid. He's just born. He's crying. That's his mother. She's just given birth. He would have felt bad. And maybe he would have disobeyed Allah's command. And he would have walked back to them. So he didn't look back. He kept walking. Ibrahim did not even say, oh Allah, what's the point of this command? Why are you telling me to leave the family and walk away? Why? What's the point behind this? What's the logic behind it? He didn't say this because Ibrahim knows what comes from Allah is the truth. And since I'm a Muslim, I have to worship Allah and obey Him. And I don't care what the wisdom behind it is, what the reason behind it is. That's a Muslim's life. Like now, when I say to you, Allah has commanded you to pray five prayers, then you pray five prayers if you're a Muslim. Khalas, I don't care why, who, how, what's going on. Pray the five, like Ibrahim alayhi salam. You all know Ibrahim, that's what he did. And he walked away. And Hajar When he walked away, she said, إِذَنْ لَنْ يُضَيَّعَنَا. She said, oh great. If Allah commanded you to leave us here, that means Allah will not abandon us. He'll look after us. So Hajar, she's now looking for water. And her baby is on the floor crying. And there's no shade, there's no trees. And that part of the world is very, very hot. So what she does is she goes up to a mountain called As-Safa. Inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you that opportunity to do a Umrah and Hajj in your life, and you'll see what I'm talking about. With your own eyes, you'll experience this. She goes up on the sandy mountain. This is a woman that's just given birth. Yeah, you know how difficult it is? You know, perhaps you've seen after your mother has given birth, how she comes home very tired, sitting on the couch most of the day because she's still recovering. Very difficult time. Even now, if a woman was working and she gave birth, they give her something called maternity leave, meaning she can leave work for about 10 weeks before she goes back to work. Because there is pain and fatigue in this. Even Allah will say a woman that has given birth shouldn't pray. She can leave salat for up to 40 days, no problems. She doesn't have to pray. You know, the one who leaves a salat in Islam is a kafir. She can leave salah, no problems. But look at this woman in this story. There's no break. So she goes up the mountain and she cannot find anyone, no life, no food, no water. So she comes down and she walks to the other mountain, Al-Marwa, and then back to As-Safa, Al-Marwa, 7 times. And the mountain was huge. And to get up, you know how difficult it is to walk on sand? Imagine climbing up a sand hill. And she couldn't find any life. And this is a mother. And her baby is crying. And she's panicking and she's worried. But she knows that Allah will look after them. Moments later, Allah would send Jibreel alayhi salam. And he taps one of his wings onto the earth. And that's when the water of Zamzam gushes out of the earth. Have you heard of Zamzam before? That's the story of Zamzam. That's how Allah looked after her. That's Allah's help for those who submit to His command and obey Him with no question. That Zamzam is still there up until this very day. So that when we drink of it, we remember this story. And we say, oh Allah, in the same manner, you gave relief to this family when there was no hope for them. They were about to die. Oh Allah, give me relief. Give me relief in my life from the pains and difficulties that I go through. Could be anything. Could be your studies. It could be just your life in general, whatever it is. You see that? You see the power in that? You see how Allah looked after a family because they decided to obey His command? Wallahi, there's every goodness in obeying Allah's command. Wallahi, you don't lose out on anything. When you obey Allah's command, you don't lose out on anything. If Allah tells you keep away from al-haram, keep away from it. Allah tells you keep away from smoking, keep away from it. From vaping, keep away from it. Keep away from adult content, keep away from it. It's good for you. It is healthy for you. You will grow strong in your iman. Your personality becomes strong. People that sin day and night, smoking, shisha, argila, vaping, women, drugs, all this kind of life, wallahi, they are weak. Their personality is weak. Their personality is very, very weak to the earth. How are these people a benefit to others? He comes on earth and he comes out and he'll die, he will die. And what does he benefit? What does he benefit? Wallahi, the first night in the grave, you will wake up to yourself, but it's too late. It's too late. Cut out the bad habits. Be a man. A proper man is the one who cuts out sins from his life. Show someone smoking. Have you seen the look on it? Wallah, a person looks shocking when he does this. Or someone sitting in his bed under his blanket. Why don't you go out and watch this in front of your mother? What are you scared of? You know it's filth.
You know it's garbage. It weakens your character. It weakens your personality. And you, my brothers, are the young Muslims. You're the future of this ummah. You're the future of the generations. You're the ones that are young. You're at this age. This is an age of knowledge. This is an age to learn. This is an age to work. This is an age to do what pleases Allah. Don't have this idea of later on. Anna, my dad and my grandfather or cousin, they started praying when they were 50, 60 years old. That's when they went to Hajj. Oh, so I got to do the same thing. No. At that age, you can't even hold your wudu for an hour. You can't memorize at that age. Your eyesight becomes very weak. You can't even read Quran. Now is the time to work. Not later. Now. That's why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are seven types of people that Allah puts under their shade on the day of judgment, under His shade. And He said, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, a young man, a young woman that was nurtured upon the deen of Allah from the very beginning. Wallahi, my brothers, I was a student in school just like you. I went to Malik Fahd. Alhamdulillah, from the very beginning, my dad taught us Islam from the very beginning. My dad was a sheikh, he went to Medina, he graduated, he studied, and he taught us manners and Islam in the house. And I used to go to school, and I used to have Islam with me. I used to be concerned for salat. Anyone he invited me to do something haram, I'd say, don't be silly. Right? They wanted to do silly things on the teacher's desk, draw silly things on the board. What for? What's good in that? Where's the goodness in this? Wake up. Knock some sense into your mind. I had this from the very beginning. And that's because perhaps my parents had a great influence from the beginning. But you're not missing out on anything. Don't say, oh, my parents are not like that. My parents are lost, Aslan. They don't pray. They don't do whatever it is. That's why I'm how I am. Don't think like that. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that his father is in the fire and his mother died a disbeliever. And how come he turned out who he is? You can't use this excuse that my parents are ruined, therefore I am ruined. And most of the companions, their parents were against their deen. But these companions were strong with their Islam. Wallahi, my brothers, wake up and understand. There is a lot of potential in you. This is the time to start working. Do deeds. Fast if you can. Give sadaqah whenever you can. Don't worry about going broke. You'll never go broke. Allah promised, the one who gives, Allah will give him. Look after each other. Have good manners with each other. Speak respectfully to others. This is going to start shaping your personality. So that when you get out to the real life, not only in school, but when you're outside, and then you're seeking to get married, and you're seeking a better life, and children, and to teach them, you have big backup in your heart, and that's because Islam inspired you, and motivated you, and empowered you. Don't be weak. Don't be weak. And sins are a big cause for weakness. Fight the sins. Go, I dare you, I challenge you. That's where manhood is. I challenge you. That addiction you have in life, I challenge you to knock it. KO that addiction in your life. Go show me. That's where true strength is. That's where strength is. Not to run to the haram. Huh? To cut it out of your life is where manhood is. That's the idea of what a Muslim is. That's the challenge in life. You see, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came to him. He said to him, O Messenger of Allah, if I've prayed the five daily prayers, and I do what's permissible, and I keep away from what's haram, do I enter the paradise? You know what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Oh, and by the way, this man added something. He says, and I don't add anything to this. I don't want to add anything. I just want to pray my five prayers on time, and I'll do what's commanded, and I'll keep away from what's haram as best as I can, and that's it. I don't want to do anything else. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, yes, of course, you'll enter the paradise. You see that? That's the idea. That's the purpose of life. That's what it is. Look how simple it is. Yani, reflecting back on the story of Ibrahim, Allah azza wa jal doesn't want you to leave your family and go away. He didn't command you to do that, don't worry, because that's difficult. He just told you there's a dress code, just dress properly, cover the awrah, that's it. Eat what's halal, keep away from what's haram. Smoking is considered consuming something haram, so keep away from that. Get up and pray your prayers on time. Drink what's halal and avoid alcohol and that which intoxicates of drugs and so on. And that's it, you're a champion. Khalas, you're a champion walking on earth. You are doing what you were created for, which is your purpose. And once you become like that, naturally you become an inspiration to others. You begin to teach others what's good. People start listening, people start learning. That's the point of life. That's the purpose of life. So this is my short message to you. I don't want to take much longer than that. I really appreciate your attentive listening. Yani, so far, you have been the best school I have attended. MashaAllah. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you all. And don't think that I'm talking looking down at you. Not literally I am, because you're sitting down. But yani, from a spiritual perspective, I don't look down on anyone. I actually believe that perhaps there are people in here that are way better than me, for sure, no doubt. But this is a reminder, an advice that we must in Islam give to each other. Because if we don't talk and highlight these problems that we are facing in life, who's going to give you advice on them? Huh? Who's going to give you advice? No one will give you advice. So that's what we are for. And finally, my advice is this to you. Three things. As young boys, what you should do. Number one, attend al-masjid regularly. If you can't for every day, then at least choose the Saturday, Sunday where you don't have school. And go with your parents to Salat al-Fajr at a masjid. Go, that's good, that's manhood. Fight your weakness, which is sleep. Oh, I want to sleep. Was it on a pillow, on a comfortable pillow? Get up. What about if the house was on fire? What would you get up for? Wouldn't you get up if the house was on fire? When you miss Salat al-Fajr, until you're setting up yourself to the hellfire. So wouldn't you get up if that was the case? Of course. So get up for Salat al-Fajr. Wake up your family. If your parents are not praying, teach them a Salat. Someone's got to do something. Don't just sit down and, I can't do anything. So find this in your day. At least once a week, come to the masjid, pray. Number two, advice, seek knowledge. You have to learn your Islam. I can't teach you Islam here because Islam is very long for you to learn. You have to put yourself in an Islamic college and learn your deen. Learn. Every week you attend, you learn. The more you learn, the more you love your deen, the more you'll take it seriously. You don't take your deen seriously when you don't know. You see, if you're sitting there thinking, what's this guy on about? That's because you're still not haven't committed yourself to learning. And by Allah, if you go and put yourself in an Islamic college and you start learning your deen, 1 week, 2nd week, 1 month, 2 months, wallahi, you'll remember me standing here saying, that guy had a point. So that's up on you. I can't do anything for you. I can only give you advice and direction. Find yourself an Islamic college, sit down and start learning about Allah, your creator. So that you can take this matter more seriously in your life. Because that's the most important thing in your life is to die as a Muslim. And number three, so the first one was commit yourself to al-masjid. Number two was seek knowledge. And number three, be around good company. This one's important. Be around good company. When you're around good people, you naturally will be good. Imagine I entered a perfume store. Even if I didn't buy anything, I'll walk out smelling good, right? Because I'm in a perfume store. But imagine I walked into a blacksmith where they melt metal and shape metal and it stinks in there. Imagine I walk in there. I don't do anything. I'm going to walk out. This will be black and I'll stink. That's bad company. That's how it is. Even if you don't say a word, you'll walk out stinky. So be around good company. Be around good company. And then inshallah ta'ala, with these three things, your iman will be solid and you'll be now on a highway to Allah Azza wa Jal in your faith and in your actions and in your character And I share with you one last hadith. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَيَعْجَبُ مِنَ الشَّابِّ لَيْسَتْ لَهُ صَبْوَةِ.
Allah Azza wa Jal is amazed and He loves the young man who fights his desire. He doesn't have a desire to do the haram because he's busy doing that which pleases of Allah, of the righteous deeds. So use your time wisely. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bestow His mercy upon us all. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He bless each and every single one of you, and He grant you success in your life. And I ask Allah that He gives you all that which you want of the halal, and to give you more than you request. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He spare us His punishment and the fire of hell and His anger and His curse. And Allah ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He keep you all firm upon your five daily prayers and upon the teachings of Islam. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا. My brothers in Islam, yani reflect over the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. You know Yusuf alayhi salam. He got caught up in an incident where he was in the palace and the wife of the king was in the palace with him as well. And this is like a massive distraction. This is the biggest fitna for a man, a woman. She had adorned herself, she beautified herself, she fixed herself up, and she locked all the doors. Imagine that, and it's in a palace. So like it's really locked up, no one can go anywhere. And she came to him, and she said to him, and he's a young man. She said to him, "Hayta lak, I am prepared for you. Let's do something haram." The first thing Yusuf alayhi salam did to break free from this situation, this very tempting situation, he said, "Ma'adh Allah." He said, "Allah, I seek your protection. I seek your help." The first practical thing to do when you're thinking of something haram or coming to something haram, stop and say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." Keep saying it. Say it loud. Say it to yourself. Have a discussion with yourself. Say, "Ammi, Allah can see me. Allah is seeing me now. Allah, bismillah, a'udhu billah." Say it loud. You'll find yourself that what is inside of you, bothering you, tempting you to do the sin, will just die. It'll just die. Don't suppress that feeling of Allah is watching. A lot of people, when they are committed to al-haram, they have the desire, he's approaching, he's going to do the haram. He knows Allah is watching. But what does he do? He said, "Put that on the side. Halala, I'll think of it later. I'll think of Allah watching me later." And he kills that feeling altogether. That's no good. As you're sitting there, approaching the haram, say, "A'udhu billah minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim." Say, "Allah, Allah is watching." Say it aloud. It's only a movement of the tongue. It's not going to take a lot of muscle from you. Not a lot of effort. Wallahi, try it. See what's going to happen. The word Allah, if it's mentioned on the tongue, nothing can outweigh it. Say, if you had a scale, and you had your sin on one side of the scale, and you had the word Allah on the other side, then the word Allah is going to outweigh the sin, and the sin is going to fly away from your heart. It's just moments. And the second thing you do after you say Allah, you know what you do the second thing? Exactly what Yusuf did. When Yusuf was standing in front of this woman, alayhi salam, he said, "Ma'adh Allah," he said, "I seek Allah's protection." The second thing he did, wastabaqa al-bab, he ran to the door. He ran to the door, meaning the second thing you do, run away from the sin. Run away from it. Is it your phone? Literally throw it. Literally, but throw it. Throw it. Is it a PC, an iPad in your room? Get out of the room. Just walk out. You'll walk out. It's only 2-3 seconds. Once you walk out, the desire is dead. Khalas, it dies. You're not into it anymore. That's all it is. It's only a matter of 3-4 seconds and you kill it. And you practice this, and you keep training yourself on this, khalas. Because look, when Yusuf alayhi salam rushed to the door, the king had come. وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ. And he opened the door. You know what that means? That means خلاص, that's it, it's all over. Because the guy's at the door. خلاص, what can you think of doing haram now? That's the idea. The idea, if you move away from the haram, Allah will send you relief straight away. Straight away relief will come. And you will not be tempted anymore. You try this 1, 2, 5, 10 times, it's gone. It's cut out of your life altogether. You got it? Understand? Allah yassir. Now, anyone else have a question that you feel like asking? If you have a question, come up, ask. Allah. Okay. If no one has a question, Tawbal, what's your question, brother?
If you were to, let's just say you can't help yourself, lower your gaze, what do you do? Let's just say it's hard for the person to lower his gaze.
Okay, the brother is saying, what about if it's hard for someone to lower his gaze? That's a good question. Bro, 100% it's hard. It was never meant to be easy. If it's hard, that means you're a man. Right? You don't have any sickness in your heart. You're good. You're normal. You're natural. Right? So that's a good sign. That's the first thing. The other thing is you need to identify and know this is not easy. So in Islam, we are required to do something called al-mujahada. Struggle and strive against ourselves. Brother, getting up at Fajr every day and making wudu, is that easy or not? Praying Fajr every morning, 2 rak'at, is that easy or not? There's difficulty. But all this difficulty, all of it, in Islam we call it sabr. You're being rewarded for it. So now when you say, you want to lower your gaze, but I can't. But brother, I'm telling you, if you force it upon yourself, just drop what you have and run away from it, you are earning reward. You are earning hasanat at the time. You are practicing something called sabr, patience. And you're getting rewarded for it. Don't ever think that if you knock away al-haram from your life that, oh, I lost the moment of temptation. I lost the moment of pleasure. I could have pleasured myself. I could have been a little bit happy. Don't ever think like that. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من هم بسيئات فلم يعملها كتبت له حسنة. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, anyone who was concerned to do haram, he's at the door. But then he holds himself back. Allah would record for him one good deed. One good deed for what? Because you backed away from al-haram. So yes, it's hard, but it comes with its price. Big reward. You got it? And a lot of the companions were salaf, they used to say that, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Keep away from the haram and you will be the most righteous of people. And I'll tell you something. You know, let me give you a question and you answer it for me. If someone spent the entire night from Isha time all the way till Fajr, how many hours is that? About 9 hours. If someone spent a whole 9 hours of praying, imagine they're praying like the Taraweeh, praying at night, 9 hours, didn't sleep. Is he better? Or the one who wanted to do a sin that night and he left it? Tell me who's better. And then he went to sleep. Which one's better? The one who prayed all night? Okay. It's the one who left the sin. I tell you why. Because the one who left the sin did an obligation. It was obligatory upon him to leave it. And the one who prayed the night, it was only recommended and voluntary. And this guy did what's obligatory. And what's obligatory is more rewarding than what's voluntary. So you see what I'm talking about? This struggle is not going to go cheap. This is going to give you more reward than the one who spent the whole night praying. Now, okay. I have one question. Can we have one more question for them?
One more minute.
Who can get up here, come here, and give me one thing you benefited from in today's lecture? Yalla, don't be shy. Anyone who benefited one thing, it probably could be half a sentence. Come up here and give it to your brothers. That could be like a da'wah and a sadaqah for you. Because I told you, if you speak a good word, you get a reward. Yalla, who wants to get up? One person. Yalla, who is it? Wait, let's see something. One person, brothers. Yalla, come on. I got a surprise for you. Whoever comes, I got a surprise.
Yalla, Bafoy.
Yalla, yalla, come. Khalas, we got him. We got him. Khalas, we got the brother. We got the brother. Yalla. Yalla, we got the brother. Huh? Yalla, bismillah. Take this mic and tell us what you benefited from today in a few words. Yalla. Bismillah, what's your name first?
Jawad.
Yalla, Jawad, start.
Our benefit is that there's something here from the sin and the haram, and
you benefited what? Tell us again.
Get away from the haram.
Get away from the haram. So that's the thing that just popped into your heart, yeah? Wallah, brother, look, I'm going to give you something, man. Come. That's 50 bucks for you, man. Yalla, here. Take it, yalla. You can't, it's a gift, you're not allowed to reject it. Yalla, yalla, show that. Khalas, give me that mic. MashaAllah. MashaAllah.
No spewing now.
Khalas, it's done. That's what I told you, get up. Yalla khair, inshaAllah, my brothers in Islam. Allah yazeek al khair. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you all. We really enjoyed our time here. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you in the near future. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.